From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
And we're back on the verge of this Armageddon, Snowmageddon that's going to hit Kansas City. Dale Carter with Kurt Wheeler, and this is Dale Carter's America. Last week we had a fantastic episode and got a lot of feedback. People thought it was a lot of fun, and I'm sure, Kurt, it's because you were back.
That's exactly why, 100%.
Yeah. So you want to tell the folks all the different ways that they can be part of Dale Carter's America, including the free subscriptions.
Yeah. I think everything's free at this point. Maybe we'll change that at some point. But yeah, you can subscribe on YouTube. If you're watching this on video, it's certainly better. We play a lot of video clips and different things. And then you can find the audio only on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. Also Rumble. A lot of people have requested Rumble just because it's an alternate, you know, place to get
and
video.
That's video, right?
Okay. Yep. Yeah. And we've been on there for a while now, but mm-hmm. I like to remind people of that. Yeah. And then Facebook, we're very active on there. Dale especially, he replies to comments, he reads all your comments, so make sure you follow our posts on Facebook and comment with your thoughts. We'd love to hear them.
I love the Facebook thing because, you know, when something occurs to me, and it's usually about once a day when something happens that really pisses me off, I can just go to it. It's my outlet. It used to be my personal Facebook page. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who are listeners of the station, and they don't want to hear all this political mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
So it's my outlet. And, you know, when I tell my wife something I've put on there, I always preface it with, it's not on my personal page. It's yeah. on the Facebook page for the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to have...
it's an outlet.
Yeah. It's nice to have an outlet, an alternate place to post all your gripes.
All right. Well, as we go into this weather, make sure you've got insurance. Man, this is a great time to compare rates and make sure you've got the best car insurance. Get with my friend Bob Watson. He's my Blue Springs State Farm agent. State Farm has surprisingly great rates, but he's got a perfect team ready to help you. They've all been with him for a very long time. They've helped me through a lot of different crises with any of my four kids who started driving. They're ready to help you with auto, home, life, commercial insurance. Licensed in both Missouri and Kansas, Bob Watson takes care of a lot of folks in the Kansas City metro area. He's at 7th and Main in Blue Springs, but don't limit it just to Blue Springs. If you're anywhere in the area, give him a call for a rate quote, 816-229-7878. Well, you know, the weather this week in most of the country is going to be terrible. It's going to be awful. And it started with this energy system out in the Pacific. It's going to make its way here. And in the Kansas City metro area, it starts as rain. It's going to end up as snow. God knows how much snow we're going to get. And then by the weekend, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but we are going to be below zero weather-wise.
Just in time for the Chiefs.
Chiefs and Dolphins. So they're going to come in from South Beach. You know, they've been sunning themselves on the beach in Miami, and it's going to be colder than a witch's tit in a brass bra, which we can't say on the radio, but by God, it's the podcast world, so we can say whatever we want. So this is the thing that the people who want you to think the sky is falling and climate change means global warming and it's the end of the world as we know it, and if you don't drive an electric car, you're killing the planet and all that, because when you face them with the fact that it's going to be really freaking cold in January, you know what they say?
Climate change.
Oh, no. They don't say that. They say, that's just the weather. That's just the weather. But by God, you let it go 1 degree out of normal, you know, for hotter in the summer, and it's like, it's the end of the world as we know it. You've got to drive an electric car or you're killing the planet.
Well, we've talked about this before, but that's why they changed it from global warming. I'm very large on the screen today for some reason. It's distracting.
We got to get a makeup sponsor. You got a little shiny forehead going on.
Yeah,
there.
You know, got a couple little things going on.
Yeah.
Here. Pay no attention to that. But that's why they changed it from global warming to climate change. We've talked about this before, is because it covers everything.
So no, but
if it's too hot, it's climate change. If it's too cold, it's climate change. If it's
January, it's
climate change.
Cold. I can remember, you know, going back to my childhood, which is way back when, don't you call me old. Way back to my childhood, it was cold in January. We got a lot of snow. Guess what? We're going to get a lot of snow and it's cold.
Yeah. Ever since I've lived in Kansas City, there's always been, every year, there's been 1 week or two, usually like in January or February, where it's like minus 5 degrees for the whole week. It's like it happens one time every year, so this might be the week.
But you get the fact that the climate is always changing on planet Earth.
Yeah.
We can't lock in, as much as Joe Biden and his team would have you believe, we cannot lock in a Goldilocks temperature where it's always going to be this. The climate is constantly changing. The Great Lakes, for instance, those huge freshwater lakes, do you know what they were at one point?
Like puddles?
Glaciers.
Oh, yeah.
The glaciers right. came down and stopped there and melted, and that's why we have the Great Lakes. The climate on this planet is constantly changing, and if you want to drive an electric car, God love you. Go drive an electric car. Just know that it's powered by a coal-fired
plant.
Well.
Energy. Power plant.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's fired by coal. In most cases. So just know that that's what's going on there. And can't we have some reasonable way forward where, you know, we have an all-in energy policy? That gets to later on in the podcast when we start talking about politics full on here with a segment that I call Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. But we'll get to that in just a second. First, we want to get to this, MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. If you are approaching 65 or you know someone who is, these are the people you need to be talking about because the government has Medicare. You know it's very complicated. It's a maze, in fact. And the folks at Medicare Simplified KC help thousands of people navigate that maze. They help people determine the most cost-effective ways to fill the holes of Medicare. And there will be holes in Medicare. You can't come to them. They'll come to you. Reach out to the pros here. Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker, they'd love to talk to you about your future under Medicare at 816-701-6661. They're in Independence, but again, you don't have to go to them. They can come to you. You can find them on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. Let them help you. You know, back in the olden times, back when the country was founded, they didn't have Medicare. They didn't have Social Security. I don't quite know how they handled things. You know, when people got older, what? They moved in with their younger relatives?
I guess so.
So for that reason alone, I'm glad that there's Medicare and Social Security in this country. The next segment on the podcast is, what would the founding fathers think? And I've been reading this fascinating book. You know, once in a while I'll go from like a thriller novel series, and then I want some history because I love history. And the book I'm reading, I'm going to hold it up for you on the podcast, is from Brett Baer at Fox News. Got a big picture of George Washington on it. It's To Rescue the Constitution, George Washington, and the Fragile American Experiment. Oh, look at you. You're pulling up the own pic. This is the actual book, and Kurt's going to pull up a picture. There you go. There's George looking pretty darn good there. There's great insight here. And I have a degree in history and political science. But the one area that I'm weak on is that period of time between the end of the Revolutionary War and when the Constitutional Convention took place. I don't know where you're at on that, Kurt, if you're big on the Articles of Confederation.
I have a pretty surface level knowledge of history, generally speaking. But
well, let's because we came out of the Revolutionary War. We won the war against Great Britain. We were 13 individual states. And trust me, they were individual states. They were individual countries. Can you imagine how chaotic that would have been? And they were so terrified of a strong central government that the government couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were on a global stage dealing with France, Great Britain, Spain, you know, and they couldn't deal with us because we didn't have one centralized government. So after years of going through that, it was clear something needed to be done, and George Washington led the Constitutional Convention. I mean, he was like the superstar. He was the rock star. He was the Taylor Swift of his day, right? Maybe he couldn't sing, but everybody knew who George Washington was, and if he was going to be involved, it was going to be a big deal. So they got together in Philadelphia, and they hammered out something that really the world would like to emulate. They came out with a system of government, a three-tiered system of government with checks and balances that is the envy of the world. And a system of amending that Constitution that allows it to be a living document. But one thing I pulled from it that I thought was interesting, it's from page 170. And Alexander Hamilton, you know, he and James Madison, they wrote different articles that went out in support of what was going on. I'm going to read this from Alexander Hamilton and see if you could see how it might apply today. Okay. This is from a letter from Phocion to the considerate citizens of New York on the politics of the day. Nothing is more common than for a free people in times of heat and violence to gratify momentary passions by letting into the government principles and precedents which afterwards prove fatal to themselves. Of this kind is the doctrine of disqualification, disfranchisement, and banishment by acts of legislature. The dangerous consequences of this power are manifest. If the legislature can disenfranchise any number of citizens at pleasure by general descriptions, it may soon confine all the votes to a small number of partisans and establish an aristocracy or an oligarchy if it may banish at discretion all those whom particular circumstances render obnoxious. Without hearing or trial, no man can be safe, nor know when he may be the innocent victim of a prevailing faction. The name of liberty applied to such a government would be a mockery of common sense. Who might that apply to?
Well, that applies to a whole lot of things. I mean, we have a two-tiered justice system right now. So
I'm thinking Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the guy who they don't like, and they've just basically taken him off the ballot in two states, and there are other left-leaning states that are going, oh my God, I hope this holds up, because then we can take him off the ballot. Mm-hmm. He is so dangerous to America that, God, we can't even let you people vote for him, because you're too stupid. You'll go in there and vote for him.
That's certainly what they think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what they think. So this Constitution, which, by the way, passed by the hair of its chinny chin chin in several of the states. This is how close we came to, I don't know what Plan B was. Plan A was the Articles of Confederation, and it was a complete disaster. So the Constitution barely passes in states, and it was sent to the states for ratification. Now, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Georgia, and Connecticut, they ratified the Constitution immediately. But they needed to get to, you know, they had to have a majority, right? They had, and they weren't there yet. Ratification with condition of a Bill of Rights, because there were people who thought the Constitution was lacking. It's like, we need some basic rights in there, right? So ratification with condition of a Bill of Rights promised, that's the first 10 amendments, were Massachusetts, Virginia, Maryland, North and South Carolina, New York, and New Hampshire. The Constitution would not have passed without the promise of a Bill of Rights. And that's very important. You know, I'm wearing my American Rebel hoodie today because what is the Second Amendment to the Constitution?
The right to bear, keep and bear arms.
Now, what our president would have you believe is that was all about having a hunting rifle. Because back then you had to go out and you had to hunt for your food. That's not what the Second Amendment's about. Think about the times that these people lived in. They had just fought a war against an oppressive regime. They didn't even want a central government in the United States, which is why the Articles of Confederation happened. But by God, if we're going to have a local, if we're going to have a strong federal government, we got to have some rights for us. We got to have the right to speak freely, religion as we want. And we got to have a Second Amendment. We got to have the right to keep and bear arms. And how important is that, especially now in Joe Biden's America, where people are flooding across the southern border?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's obviously the First Amendment is under attack too, and as is the Second Amendment. But you know, sometimes personally, I think about like, oh, you know, if shit really goes south, where would I move? Would I move to another country? And I don't want to be a quitter, you know, that's a big reason, but a real big reason I don't think I could live anywhere else is because nowhere else really has Second Amendment rights like we do here in America. You know, I'd have to theoretically, you know, sell off some supplies that may or may not have been lost in a boating accident. But but yeah, I mean, it's just it's such a huge thing that we have here as Americans, and we shouldn't take it for granted, you know, and people should practice their Second Amendment, too.
especially as our president says, oh, if you want to come at the government, you better have an F-15. To me, it's about personal protection. It's about, what are you letting across the southern border? What's the crime in the city that I live in? That I live in a suburb, but it's encroaching further and further into my neck of the woods, you know. And if I call 911, are the cops going to come? They'll come as fast as they can, but it may be up to me to defend my property. And that's what the Second Amendment is all about. By the way, one state that I did not mention in all that litany of states there was Rhode Island. Did you know that Rhode Island did not even send representatives to the Constitutional Convention? They wanted nothing to do with it.
Hmm.
They were going to be on their own. They did not care. And they did not ratify the United States Constitution until 1790, which was like 3 years after the first ratification. So
were they just going to make their own country? Or
yeah,
what?
Exactly. Well, that's what we had. We had 13 separate countries.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it that way, because that's the way they thought of it. There were people at the Constitutional Convention, their biggest beef with the thing was how it started. You know how the Constitution starts. We the people, right? They wanted it to start, we the states.
Yeah.
Because they felt strongly about
well,
that.
Well, I mean, states, state identity and states' rights was a thing that persisted through, you know, at least the first 100 years of American history. You know, if you look at the way that senators were elected, we've talked about this before,
right.
They were elected directly by the states. And people had a lot more state pride than they do now. And I think because of the slow encroachment of the federal government into everything, the states were also a lot different. There was some things that had to be federal, you know, like our currency and, you know, things like that. But
our army.
Yeah. But certainly there was a lot more states' rights, you know, and that stretches all the way up until the Civil War. You have people like Robert E. Lee, who was not necessarily pro-Confederacy, and not necessarily anti-union, but he wanted to fight for Virginia because that was his state, and that's
he didn't want to draw his sword against Virginia.
Exactly,
he was an American hero.
Yeah,
you know, in the war before that with Mexico, he led the American forces down there. All very good points, all very valid points. I really recommend this book. If you don't have a lot of knowledge, like I didn't, I like to like fill in the cracks of my knowledge between the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution. Just read in there what the most brilliant minds of the time, the things that they struggled with and how they brought this country together. And if one or two votes had gone the other way, where might this country have ended up?
Yeah.
It's scary to contemplate. And George Washington, like I said, was the rock star of the day. He was the first president. He was unanimously elected by the Electoral College. First and only time that's ever happened was the two terms of George Washington. And everything he did as president set a precedent,
mm-hmm.
right? And he knew that going in. He knew that whatever he did, whatever steps he took, whatever decisions he made, whatever cabinet-level positions he started, which are not covered in the Constitution, by the way, he set the precedent for that.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to thank George Washington for.
And he's also one of the only people ever to basically give up power and just retreat back to, like, living a private life because he you know, he served two terms, right, as president,
mm-hmm.
and then he was so popular. I mean, his approval rate was like 95% or something insane like that. And he was so popular that people wanted him to keep being president, basically, you know, instituting him as not a king so much, but as a new, like, oligarch ruler of America. And he said, no, that's not right. That's, you know, my time is done. And he went back to his house and chilled, you know, and it's crazy. Just that amount of humility is something that in itself is very admirable. And you look at our politicians now, it's like the exact opposite. I mean, they serve their two terms and then, you know, it's not like they're out of politics. I mean, they're still, Obama has been, giving advice or, you know, advising on various issues for the Biden administration. And then, of course, they all go around and they're giving $200,000 speeches and they're
right.
giving commencement speeches and they're getting with the donors and all this and that, you know. So,
well, read that book by Brett Baer and you'll have a new appreciation for the founding of this country and a guy like George Washington who was reluctant at every step of the game there and was always looking forward to getting back to Mount Vernon. And the peaceful transfer of power is perhaps one of the greatest gifts that he gave us. And I just, when I look forward, I'm really worried about the future. future of this country. And I think it's a time that we ought to reflect back to how we got where we are and know that it's a great country and the greatness of it is in its history. Now, it's flawed history. For sure. I mean, George Washington owned slaves. I mean, one of the things that they point out in the book was when the government was temporarily moved to Philadelphia from New York for that 10-year period while they were building the capital city in Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania had a law that if you were a slave but you lived in Pennsylvania for 6 months, you were free. Mm-hmm. And the Washingtons were very aware of that. And so they cycled their slaves back to Mount Vernon, just shy of the six-month mark. So there's some inconvenient history here, and at some point with the whitewashing that goes on in this country, you may see calls for the removal of George Washington's image and name from everything, Thomas Jefferson's name and image from everything, which we'll fight because we think that our history is our history. And we've said that all along as they've been tearing down statues and renaming military bases. Our history is our history, and I think it's one of our strengths.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also true that everywhere else in the world pretty much had slavery in some form or another at that time or at various times. You know, it's interesting to me that we, as Americans, seem like we have to uniquely answer for the sins of the past, where like South America doesn't. You know, why do Brazilians speak Spanish? It's Spain-ish. It's because they were conquered by the Spanish.
Right.
And they brought way more slaves to Brazil than they did to America, something like 3 million or more from Africa. They don't have to answer for any of that. And it was at the same exact time. So I just think we need to move on and just stop talking about it, because it's just not on this podcast, but just like stop apologizing, stop making excuses for our past, for our history. George Washington was a great man, an amazing leader in American history, and we would not be here without him.
I mean, we may get to a point in the future where future generations may look back on us who enjoy a steak once in a while as, oh my God,
yeah,
they ate an animal.
Yeah. It's possible. It's certainly possible.
It is certainly possible. And, you know, we talk about race in this country because of the liars who are on the other side. We're going to get to that in a second. But first, we mentioned the Second Amendment. And, of course, our sponsor here is Clay Como Shooters. If you are going to exercise your Second Amendment rights, do it responsibly. Okay, maybe you got a firearm for Christmas because you're listening and seeing everything that's going on around you going, I really need to protect my family. That's what it comes down to. Well, get your firearms at Clay Como Shooters, but more importantly, get to the range, get a membership, let these folks train you just like they train law enforcement. They've got everything you need, pistols, rifles, ammo, accessories, but the training is, I think, the key. And they invite you to come train with them. 816-452-4867. That's the number you need for Clay Como Shooters. They're at 69 Highway in Clay Como, right between I-35 and 435. And as Kurt is scrolling through their website, they're on the web at claycomoshooters.com. They invite you to come train with them, and I think you should. Because it's one thing to have a firearm in your house and say, hey, I got some protection here. But if you don't know how to use it, you could be screwed in the long run.
And these classes are super affordable too. I mean, just scrolling through them, Defensive Shooting Fundamentals Level 2, it's a 6-hour class for $100. I mean, you're going to learn way more than $100 worth of, you know, valuable information from professionals in that 6 hours, and it's a very affordable price for that amount of experience.
Herb and his team are ready to help you, and they'll do a great job. Trust us on that. Clay Como Shooters. Royal Roofing and Solar, they're the roof over my house at Casa del Carter. I trust those folks. Austin Watterson, a dear friend for many years, he and his family own Royal Roofing and Solar. Mike Dale is their solar expert. Let him show you how you can turn your home into its own power generation unit. And, you know, as we go forward and the grid gets shakier and shakier, you're going to want to be able to generate your own power. And they can show you how to do that. They've got all kinds of rebates, and there's a way even you could get like a free roof out of the deal. Call them and ask about it, especially if you need a roof. Get it inspected, 816-540-7057. That is the number for Royal Roofing and Solar. Tax credits and grants for small and rural business, ag producers too. They're ready to help you. What is their? I should write down what their website is because you've got the website over
there. Yeah, so they... excuse me, they have two different websites. So if you're looking for information about solar, it's solarbyroyal.com. And then that phone number that you're giving out, the 816-540-7057, is for, I guess, Mike's services with the solar.
Okay.
So that's the solar website, is solarbyroyal.com. And then their roofing and contracting website is royalcontractingkc.com, which is this one.
Sorry, it's hard for me to talk and write at the same time, but
that's
I think I got that. And I think probably they'll all get to the same person eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll take really good care of
you. No doubt.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Did you say that when you were a kid?
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
We didn't say that when I was a kid. Is that a thing for the 80-plus group? I mean, did you all say that when you were kids?
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
No. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
I've never heard anyone say that ever besides Joe Biden. So,
other than Joe Biden. Okay, yeah. So we fast forward to today and a lot of concerns moving forward about politics here. And we start with Nancy Pelosi as we zoom past $34 trillion in debt. Do we have the debt clock?
Yeah, I'll pull it up.
Yeah, pull the debt clock up because I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page. We show this to you because there's two figures that you should look at. There's the deficit and the debt. And to put it in terms that would approach all of us, you know, your debt is like you got a home, right? And you got a huge debt on that mortgage. Maybe you've got a car and you got a debt on that. That's your debt. Your deficit is at the end of the month. If there's too much month at the end of the money, you got a deficit, all right? And America has both. We have a huge debt and we have a huge deficit. Now, the debt I saw zoom past $34 trillion. Or yep. We're still past that, right?
$34 trillion, yeah.
It's not coming down.
No.
No. And the deficit?
U.S. federal budget deficit is also going up. It's at so many numbers. I guess $1.7 trillion.
Yeah. So, and it's going up. It's not coming down.
Debt per citizen is at $101,261. Debt per taxpayer is at $264,090.
Because there's a lot more of you, living here than paying taxes.
Also includes like my 3-year-old son owes $101,000.
You have a 3-year-old?
I'm sorry, three-week-old. Three week old.
Well, no, and it
I'm
also
skipping ahead here.
It includes people on the lower income side who don't pay federal taxes, right?
Right.
Retired folks, maybe who aren't paying federal taxes. So that's why that number is a little bit different. So, and I want to credit, you know, my good friend Gary McNamara for this, because I was listening to he and Eric. I listen to them a lot because I think they have a lot of common sense, reasonable solutions for America. Gary's been a guest on this show, and he mentioned that Nancy Pelosi went on MSNBC, and she said that Biden has reduced the debt. Corrected herself to that, because she started with deficit, which is also wrong, even though we passed the Deficit Reduction Act. But she said that the debt was also going the other way. And we've demonstrated to you that that is not the case.
I'm trying to find the full clip here because RNC Research posted just like a short little 15-second clip.
Right. Well, it's a long clip when she was on MSNBC.
The full clip is actually better because... see if I can find it. Just keep talking for a second.
All right. Well, I mean, what you're going to see is that she's completely clueless, but she's going to start talking about what Americans really care about around the dining room table. And it's not the issues that you think that they care about. Because, I mean, really, who cares about the southern border?
Can you look at the graph?
Well, we'll just watch this abbreviated clip for now because I don't want to spend too much
time. It makes the point that I'm going to make anyway.
Yeah.
If you look at the graph of inflation afterwards, it literally goes straight down.
It does. And also there was deficit reduction, for the national debt in the legislation.
No, there's not. I mean, it may be somewhere spelled out in the legislation, but it's not happening.
Yeah, it's just so ridiculous. And like you can tell, I mean, I almost want to watch it again because you can tell from what's his face that he knows it's not true. I mean, just watch her face and then watch Chris Hayes, that's his name.
To
watch
the
his
kitchen
face.
Table, about people's health, financial well-being, their freedom to live their lives. And again,
Stop the tape on that. Freedom to live your lives. These are the same people who don't want you to have a gas stove.
Yeah.
They want you, they want to force you to drive an electric car. Where's freedom in that?
Yeah, here's the correct clip. Let's just watch this one more time.
All right.
And watch Chris Hayes' face. When she says that they reduce the deficit, watch his
face.
If
you look at the graph of inflation afterwards, it literally goes straight down.
It does. And also there was deficit reduction, for the national debt in the legislation.
If you look at the graph, it literally goes straight down.
He's nodding, though. He's nodding his head as she's saying it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's nodding, but he's making this face like, yeah, that's not true, but like, I'm going to just nod and agree with you. But he knows that it's not true.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. You know, it's pure propaganda. They're... And I always wonder, it's like, do these people know that they're lying, or are they just so convinced of their ideology that they just kind of push it to the back of their brain and they don't even think about it? I wonder.
It makes me wonder what people care about. And I know what you and I care about. It just makes me wonder what people who would go into a voting booth and pull the lever or punch the card or fill in the gap for Joe Biden after what we have been through. What can they be thinking?
Mm-hmm.
We're not done. We'll get there. Our secure border, by the way, secure in quotes, has had millions now cross into Texas. I mean, millions of people literally have come across the border, okay? So Governor Abbott of Texas, he asked some of them, hey, you know, where do you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
He's not forcing them by gun. It's like, you know, they're telling him, we'd like to go to New York City, okay? So he loads up some buses with hundreds, not millions, hundreds, right? And Eric Adams is apoplectic about it.
Yeah.
And now Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, filed a lawsuit against 17 charter companies that have bused illegals into his city. The suit is asking for over $700 million to cover the costs of caring for these illegals sent to New York from Texas over the last 20 months. He claims the charter company, the bus companies, violated the law by not covering the cost of care for the people who were sent to his state. Is that in the law somewhere that the bus company has to cover the cost?
I don't think so.
What is the deal on that?
This is a funny clip too that I found of the new
intentions of Governor Abbott.
Whoa,
that's new, Chicago mayor.
Yeah. Check out what
he's
he has
a piece
to say
of work
it.
Too.
Yeah, he's a real winner.
You're absolutely right about the intentions of Governor Abbott. He is attacking democratically ran cities, and particularly cities that are being led by black leaders or leaders
Hey-o,
of color.
There it is.
This is unconscionable. I mean, it's a very raggedy approach. And quite frankly, not only is it reckless and raggedy, but it is evil spirited. You're absolutely
reckless, raggedy, and evil spirited.
And racist.
But wait a minute. Aren't these cities sanctuary cities?
Yeah, I thought they supported no human is illegal and all that BS.
They want you to come there. And so when those illegals come across the border and Abbott says, hey, where you want to go? We'll get you there. I mean, should Texas have to bear the entire brunt of this?
According to them, probably, yeah, because Texas is a red state. So, you know, and Texas is already kind of going purple. If you look at the past few elections, it hasn't been quite as secure for Republicans as it has been historically, you know, the past few decades. So that's part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. You know,
I know they've got a plan.
If illegal immigrants voted 80% or whatever the percentage is Republican instead of Democrat, they'd shut down the border tomorrow. And that's just what it's about. It's about votes. It's about demographics. They celebrate less white people, less Republicans, more Democrats, more non-whites. That's what it's about.
Is it xenophobic of me or you to say, hey, you know, millions are flooding our southern border illegally? I mean, I'm for legal immigration, and we ought to fix that system. But first, we got to put a stop to what's happening right now. Is it xenophobic for us to look at all of those people coming across going, hey, probably the bulk of them are really good people looking for a better life for their families, but there might be some really bad people mixed in there?
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter whether they're good people or not. That's not the issue. I'm sure most people in the world are probably good people. I don't know. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But not the point of immigration.
I get that, but I'm making the because the other side is going to say we're xenophobic, which means we're afraid of them. Okay? I'm not afraid of them, except the really, really bad people who might come across the border. And that would include terrorists,
yeah.
You know? It might include criminals, rapists,
drug dealers, fentanyl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does that make me xenophobic that I want a secure border for my country?
According to them, it does.
But you know, the
we
Pope,
need to stop caring about those labels because they're not going to stop.
Well, you know, as a Catholic, you know, I look to the Pope sometimes, but the Pope says, hey, you can't have a wall. That's anti-Christian. And then I look at the Vatican and it's got a big wall around it.
It sure does. Yeah.
So don't be a hypocrite on this. Say what you mean and mean what you say. And if you don't have the words yourself, you know, maybe you can find them from somebody else. That's what Harvard President Claudine Gay would tell you. All right. She steps down as president of Harvard. She was the first black ever appointed president of Harvard, male or female. She steps down. Now, not because she allowed anti-Semitism on campus. No, that's not it. Not because she's been busted for plagiarism. Something Joe Biden could probably teach a course on. Nope. She's stepping down because of racist attacks on her, and Al Sharpton agrees.
Oh, I don't have that clip.
The Associated Press wants the standard for fair news reporting, and you've got that up.
Yeah.
They accuse the right of weaponizing plagiarism, because that's what the new buzzword is. You've weaponized it. You've weaponized plagiarism. Never mind the fact that she did it, right? Yeah. Never mind the fact that, you know, she's allowing anti-Semitism on her campus. And this really bothers me. And as a 60-year-old white guy, maybe I don't have the background to say this, but it really pisses me off when black people scream racism when they screw up.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like almost every time now, you know, it's like
it's play number one in the Democrat playbook for a reason, because that's
the go-to thing,
the card they always play.
This is a funny clip that I found from our favorite news network, CNN, trying to, you know, the thing that I've been seeing is like people making excuses for plagiarism. They're like, well, you know, plagiarism, that's such a strong word. Do we really have to call it that? So look at this guy, this freaking idiot. This is hilarious.
These plagiarism allegations where Claudine Gay has had to issue corrections, multiple corrections. Now, we should note that Claudine Gay has not been accused of stealing anyone's ideas in any of her writings. She's been accused of sort of copying other people's writings without attribution. So it's been more sloppy attribution than stealing anyone's ideas. But nonetheless, you put all of that together.
And if you notice it, you're a racist.
She hasn't been accused of stealing ideas. She's just been accused of stealing ideas.
You know, and I'll admit to you that in my 60 years, I've screwed up occasionally.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the thing going forward. Well, my God, I screwed up. But you noticed, and you noticed because I'm elderly. And now I'm going to play that card.
Yeah.
I mean, you're being mean to the old guy. I'm a 60-year-old left-handed blonde. I got all kinds of problems going on here.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
Yeah.
You should do that.
I'm not going to do that because, you know, in life, you make mistakes, you retrench, and then you come back even stronger because you learn from what you did. And if you lean on something as lazy as, well, you know, I did all this stuff, but you notice, and that makes you a racist, you're just being lazy. Mm-hmm. Get out there and, you know, do something with your life. She's a smart lady. And she's obviously, you know, she made it to president of Harvard. Maybe she's going to be president of my university. It's a step down from Harvard, but you know what? She's smart.
Oh, I'm sure she'll be just fine. And you know, there was actually a story. I'll see if I can find this, but I think she's keeping her salary.
A neat deal.
Yeah, from Harvard.
Well, she's still going to teach there, as I understand it. And I also, one of the things that I read too was that some of the people she plagiarized were black.
I'm sure they were.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's that mean? And you know what? Here's the deal. The plagiarist in chief is our president. So you could go on to be president of the United States because that's what he did. You know, you can go back to when he was in the Senate. He was plagiarizing some guy over in Ireland. I mean, almost word for word in a speech he gave. And he's done that many times through the years.
Yeah, this is from the Twitter account Black Millionaires. It says, Harvard's former president, Dr. Claudine Gay, was forced to resign over accusations of plagiarism and anti-Semitism. She will remain a tenured faculty member in the political science department and keep her $900,000 annual salary, the same she received as president.
Wow.
So she's resigning, but she's not really resigning. She still has a job there. She's still getting $900K a year.
But she still has a platform to call all of us racist because we noticed.
Yeah. And I'm sure it'll just empower her even more and empower her supporters even more to, you know, make a big deal out of it. So she'll be just fine. She's going to be all over TV. She's going to be getting speaking engagements. She's going to be bitching and moaning about how terrible life is as a black woman in America, despite making $900,000 a year to teach about racism at Harvard.
Maybe she'll co-host with Al Sharpton. They could do a show together on MSNBC because he's the guy they always go to. And no matter what it is, you know, it's like pour water into it and stir and you've got racism.
Yeah.
Because
and it's like, on one hand, I mean, obviously these people are acting in bad faith. They're acting in a way that should not be supported in any way. But the other hand, it's like you kind of almost don't blame him. I mean, the apple is right there. You know, like you're going to pick it. You know, the money is sitting on the ground. It's $900,000 a year to be black. That is the job, you know. So, like, why would you not do it? You know, it's free money, essentially. Same thing for Sharpton. I mean, his career is entirely propped up by him continuously rehashing the civil rights movement and rehashing these racial issues. And it's like, why wouldn't he? You know,
right. He
gets paid hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, and why wouldn't he do it? I mean, it's laying right there on the floor.
God forbid this country ever came together. He'd be out of work.
Exactly.
All right, so we move on to the liar in chief, and that would be Joe Biden. And for that, I brought a prop in with me, and I want to thank Ken Cox, our wonderful chief engineer here at Steel City Media, because I've got this microphone, but it's more of a, I'm going to swing it back and forth here, okay? Don't look at it too carefully, Kurt, because I need you to run the controls over there.
Trying to press buttons over here.
All right, here we go. Joe Biden launching his campaign on January 6th.
Oh, you want me to play the video?
Hypnotizing the base. Here we go.
I've made the preservation of American democracy the central issue of my presidency. I believe in free and fair elections and the right to vote fairly and have your vote counted. There's something dangerous happening in America.
Oh, it's dangerous.
There's an extremist movement that does not share the basic beliefs in our democracy. All of us are being asked right now, what will we do to maintain our democracy? History's watching. The world is watching. And most important, our children and grandchildren will hold us responsible. The Vice President and I have supported voting rights since day one of this administration. And I ask every American to join me in this cause. America is still a place of possibilities, where the power resides with we, the people. That's our soul. We are the United States of America. There is nothing beyond our capacity, and we act together.
By the way,
I'm Joe Biden. I approve this message.
I'm Joe Biden.
It's United States of America.
Come on, man.
All right. I'm still hypnotizing over here, okay? All right.
Do we want to? I almost want to watch that again so I can pause it, because there's a couple things I wanted to say. I'm just going to pause it in the first 2 seconds.
All right.
I've made the preservation of American democracy the central issue of my presidency.
Okay, so the first thing I have to say about that is, you know that they have a full production team behind this. They probably spent many, many tens of thousands of dollars on this ad. Probably millions of dollars on this ad. The best clips that they can find of Joe Biden still sound like he has dementia. Like the best clips. That's the best clip that they can find. He's like, birds are having democracy. Like he can't even talk normal, like at his very best. It's insane.
All right, my arm's getting tired. I've got my hypnosis going over. I'm ready to hypnotize. You're ready for me to hypnotize?
Yeah. All right. Oh, you got something planned over here?
All right. So pay no attention to what Trump's administration did, okay? Secure border, record low inflation, energy independence, respect on the world stage. Pay no attention to the dumpster fire that's happened since. Millions coming across the border. Energy dependence while promoting an unsustainable future. Record high prices. And, of course, that sloppy exit from Afghanistan. Pay no attention to that. And, of course, every foreign policy mistake that has come since then. No. All that matters is January 6th and Trump. January 6th and Trump, a threat to democracy. You're getting very, very sleepy. Very, very sleepy. Now wake the hell up.
That was good.
Wake the hell up.
I also pulled a clip of President Biden speaking on the anniversary of January 6th. I'm going to have to pause this one a lot, too, but it's worth watching.
Said that there was a lot of love on January the 6th.
Okay, well, should I keep going?
Sure.
Including law enforcement, saw a lot of hate and violence. One Capitol Police officer called it a medieval battle. That same officer called vile rape was called vile racist names.
Okay, so I got to pause it right there. The guy he's talking about is a black Capitol police officer that testified at the January 6th committee that a bunch of people screamed, "Get that N," and chased after him down the hallway of the Capitol. There have been thousands of hours of footage released. They have every single angle you could possibly have in the Capitol. They haven't released all the footage, but you know that everything that's happened in that building, they see and they have the footage of. No single piece of evidence has come out to support this guy's claim. I think he's a liar, personally.
Oh, well, that's the segment. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Okay, so you got to love a campaign that starts with the darkness of January 6th.
Yeah.
And this terrible guy, Donald Trump, who is so horrible for America, you can't even vote for him. We're going to take him off the ballot because we're a democracy, and that's what we do. So today, the president is visiting a South Carolina church where nine black people were killed by a white guy in 2015. Trump wasn't even president in 2015, was he? 16, right?
17, actually.
Okay, so this happened in 2015, okay? But he's trying to shore up support among the blacks because some black people, Kurt, are saying, what the hell have Democrats done for us? As, you know, a Democrat might say, they're getting off the plantation. And in fact, Joe Biden would even put it in a way, you know, that you've got to be kidding me. Is there any choice between Trump and me? Where's the clip where, you know, because I know he said it a million times, you know, if you can't figure out who you're going to vote for, me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Yeah. I wanted to find the black church clip first because this is one of my favorite.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite Biden clips ever.
Can y'all hear me? Yo.
Get him dancing.
I've spoken before parliaments.
Crap. Wrong clip.
Okay.
Well, anyways.
Well, he's out there trying to get his people back on the reservation because the black vote has historically gone 90% plus for Democrats, and they just expect you to keep voting for them.
Yeah.
What are you doing for him? I don't know. Where are the opportunities coming from? You know, Tim Scott in South Carolina, who's one of my favorite politicians, period, came up with enterprise zones.
Looks like Joe Biden.
Trying to get, you know, more black-owned businesses out there.
Yeah, here's the you ain't black.
Oh, there's the one, yeah.
Yeah, I know this is the one that you're looking for. Sorry for the delay on the
saved your political life in the primaries this year. They have things they want from you, and one of them is a black woman running mate. What do you say to them?
What I say to them is that I'm not acknowledging anybody who is being considered, but I guarantee you there are multiple black women being considered. Multiple.
Charlamagne had a follow-up question, but got interrupted by someone off-camera saying their time was up.
New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
The comment may have been...
He makes that face a lot. You know, yeah. This is why you got to get the video version. He makes that face a lot, and you know what that face says to me? That's the face of when you're going to fart, right? Yeah, I'm going to let a good one out here.
Yeah. I really do think it's like dementia kicking in. It's like a muscle reaction because he talks like this and then he gets in real close.
He does. Oh, yeah. Well, and he gave them what they wanted, too. A black female as vice president, yep. Kamala Harris. That was her only qualification. She's not qualified to be vice president. She's not qualified to step in as president on day one should something happen to Joe. Yep. And if her name were Carl Harris and she were senator from California and she were a white guy, there's no way she'd be on the ticket.
No.
I mean, you got to ask yourself, what did she bring to the table? California, a state that you can put up blue right now. For 2024. It's going to vote Democrat as long as I don't understand why. I see what they're doing in California, and I can't believe anybody wants that as a blueprint for America. So they would have gotten California anyway. Every task that he's given her to do, she's abjectly failed on, including the border. She's the border czar, by the way.
Yeah.
Czar. How's that working out?
Border czar.
Yeah. Oh, there you got Joey dancing.
Yeah.
Oh.
I had to find that clip because it's one of my favorites.
I'll tell you what, I put myself in this. I'm 21 years younger than Joe Biden, and you're not going to get a clip of me dancing. He's not making it any better.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really dancing.
There's no
he's
rhythm.
He's kind of just clapping.
There's no rhythm.
There awkwardly.
Look at everybody else clapping in rhythm. And then there's Joe. As we say around here, he's a beat off.
Yeah. And not a beat off like that.
Oh, I don't know. I might have meant it that way. All right. All of this against the backdrop of the Supreme Court of the United States. They've agreed to hear Trump's challenges to being bumped from the ballot. I still think that is the most undemocratic move. In fact, the framers of this country, who are acknowledged in the book by Brett Baer, from George Washington to Madison to Jefferson, they'd be rolling in their graves that based on somebody that you don't like, not accused, not indicted, certainly not convicted of what it is you're removing him for, you just willy-nilly, you're just going to take him off the ballot. That's what they've done.
Yep.
And the Supreme Court will step in, and we will see if the three liberal justices will join the Democrats who dissented in Colorado, scathing dissension, by the way, about what their four colleagues did to take him off the ballot in Colorado. Let's see if they are jurists or political hacks, because there is no way you can support this not being a 9-0 decision by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's anything less, the Democrats are going to say it's all political.
Mm.
You know, they've already got that.
Yep.
Yeah. And where is Joe Biden on this? He's the leader of the country, right? He's the president of the United States. He should be out front on this saying, I demand Donald Trump be on that ballot. First of all, it's the only reason he's running, because he thinks that that's the only chance they've got to keep in the White House with Trump is Trump-Biden 2.0. He should be demanding Donald Trump be on the ballot.
Yeah. I mean, last week we talked about how, you know, we would never do that because we believe in the process of the election and things like that. But purely for practical purposes, maybe a red state should take Biden off of the ballot, because it'll get people's attention and it'll force the issue. It'll force the Supreme Court. I mean, they're already taking up the case, but it'll make it bipartisan. It'll force them to address it. You know, maybe there should be a Republican governor that just like, all right, well, you're going to take Trump off, we'll take Biden off.
I just don't want to do that. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in this country, and I think it's just wrong.
Yeah.
And like I've told you before, I want people to walk into that ballot. I want Democrats. I cannot imagine a Democrat. Now, I could imagine it in 2020 because Donald Trump was who Donald Trump is, and I'm sure a lot of Democrats went in there and said, we got to get rid of this asshole. We got to get rid of the asshole. But I want to know what goes through a Democrat's mind when they look at that ballot and they see Joe Biden with the backdrop of what we have lived through.
Yeah. Yep, I'm with you.
All right. Well, it's good. I'm glad. Midwest GI Health. You know, you need to get your colonoscopy. That's important. All right. I was talking to Dr. Mark Terramina, and he was up at the Mayo Clinic getting a little education, because it's always about continuing education at MidwestGIHealth.com. It's how we know that the old standard of 50 years old to get your colonoscopy has actually come down to 45. And with the cancer rates in this country, it may continue to go lower. The good news is, if you get your colonoscopy and you've got some of those polyps, they can get those things tested, get treatment started, and you can survive colon cancer. You put it off, you don't get your colonoscopy, and they discover it way down the road, not a lot they can do about it. So get tested. Get the screening there. And Midwest GI Health and Wellness, they can get it all done in one-stop shopping. They'll do your upper GI, too, if you need that done. They've got the entire digestive tract covered for you. Dr. Mark Terramina and his staff at Midwest GI Health and Wellness, they're on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com. You can reach them at their office at 816-836-2200. Of all the people who will do your colonoscopy in the Kansas City area, the Google rating for Midwest GI Health is 4.9 out of 5, highest in Kansas City. So there you go. And he was trained at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. I know we have a lot of veterans. They've got a female doctor there if you're more comfortable with that. Joan is there, and she was trained at Dartmouth. Dr. Joan Chandra, they'll take care of you. That's the key there for your entire digestive tract. Let's nip cancer in the bud before it becomes an issue.
Tremendous people.
And then once you've had your colonoscopy, you're going to be hungry, right? You need to go plow through some pizza there at Funhouse Pizza. 50 Highway in Lee's Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs. Jim Dingman will be ready. In fact, that we talk about all the celebrations you could have at Funhouse Pizza. Maybe one of the celebrations you could have is, hey, I have my colonoscopy. Now I'd like a large pizza and a, you know, huge beer.
Cold beer.
Cold beer. They'll take care of you at Funhouse Pizza. It's where we do our live on locations. And somebody reached out to me and they said, when are you going to be back on location? As far as the Truman County thing, when we've got something to report, mm-hmm. I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my time. And I'm still waiting on Jeff Coleman. Jeff Coleman, are you listening? We're still waiting on you. I've got some ideas of things that we can do in the meantime, and we'll get to that in our next segment. Meanwhile, on the home front. So while Kansas City, Missouri set a homicide record at 185 in 2023, did you know that?
Yes, we talked about it last week.
KCK, just across State Line Road, had a major reduction in homicides. What's the difference? Well, the police chief there, Carl Oakman, he says, aggressive enforcement of the law. My God, Quentin Lucas, are you listening? Aggressive enforcement of the law is the main reason. And I'm not sure what the Wyandotte County prosecutor does, but we know what the Jackson County prosecutor does. She's got the turnstile going. You're probably misunderstood. We'll just put you back out on the street.
Here's a quote from Oakman. He says, we do a lot of community engagement, which is very important, but I think what you always have to have is balance. But I think what you always have to balance is enforcement. You need to do enforcement. There are individuals that we have to work every year to make sure we put them in jail and keep them in jail to keep that violence under control.
Shocking. That is just shocking. And, you know, a lot of the 185 homicides in Kansas City, Missouri, I don't have the exact number on this, but I'm going to bet it's a lot. It's black on black crime. And you're not going to get Joe Biden coming to town talking about that. He'd rather be in a church making us, you know, further separated. You know, the guy who was going to unite the country, remember that in his inaugural address? He's going to bring everybody together. He divides more than anyone in America.
Yeah.
And they could care less about what's happening in the black community in places like Kansas City, where black people are killing black people. They're looking for their narrative, and that is not their narrative. So congratulations to Police Chief Carl Oakman and everyone in KCK who takes crime seriously, knows that there are people who should not be on the street, who should be behind bars, and they're getting it done in KCK. So congratulations. Something that I'm sure Mayor Q is focusing on is St. Louis. St. Louis is now mandating city employees who and those who enter city buildings be masked.
We have an update on that.
Here we go again, right?
Mask mandate rescinded for St. Louis city employees. Area hospitals say they aren't strained. This is the top of the article here from KSDK, NBC affiliate. City of St. Louis officials announced Friday afternoon that it is no longer requiring city employees to wear a mask while working, less than 24 hours after issuing a mask mandate.
Okay.
So, I guess they weren't having it.
Well, Mayor Q, if you're listening to the podcast, he just went, damn it.
Yeah, right.
Damn it. I thought we'd be close. Okay, fine. I ask that you keep your eyes open if you're a Jackson County voter on the next Jackson County tax proposal involving the Chiefs and the Royals. And just as I put that into the notes, there was a story that was carried that said, hey, Chiefs and Royals say they'll stay in Jackson County if only you and Jackson County will approve the extension of the existing sales tax for like the next 50 years. Will you do it?
Great.
That's a question. You know, and they say that if you vote no, we'll lose the teams. And I call bullshit on that.
You're full of shit.
That's it. I mean, a no vote will continue to send the message that we are fed up. So we voted no on the internet use tax. Kansas City proper passed it, we in Eastern Jackson County deep six that measure. So you really want to get their attention? You vote no on this one when they put it on the ballot. They still think they're going to do it for the April election. We're going to keep an eye on that, and we'll let you know. It would be a wake-up call is what it would be. And maybe, here's a thought, maybe the rest of the metro ought to shoulder some of this burden. Why does it fall on one county to support the Royals and the Chiefs?
Mm.
Right?
That's a good question.
Where's Johnson County in this? There's a lot of money in Johnson County, Kansas. Why aren't you jumping in here? It's a good question. And maybe if we vote no and it gets their attention, it might be, there might be another way we're going to fund this thing. I mean, where are the Royals going to go? Already you've got the Tampa Bay Rays, who are one of the best teams in baseball. Do you follow baseball much?
Not as much as I used to, yeah. But a little bit.
Yeah. So the Tampa Bay Rays are one of the best teams in baseball, and they can't draw 6,000 people to that stadium.
Yeah.
So they need to move. Where are the Royals going to move? Think about that for a second. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Hunt family has committed to Kansas City. All I'm trying to do, I'm not trying to run off our teams. I work for one of them, for crying out loud. What I'm trying to do is get a wake-up call out there that we're pissed in Jackson County and we need to get their attention, not just keep sending them money. So anytime there's a tax issue on the ballot, just vote no. And we'll see if we get, I guarantee you we'll get their attention on this one. No question about that.
Yep.
So the next thing down there, is that misplaced?
Yeah, that was from earlier. That was the Supreme Court article.
Well, then we can move this thing right along. And again, thank Bob Watson for being part of our podcast. He's my State Farm agent, and he wants to be your State Farm agent. He's at 7th and Main in Blue Springs, 816-229-7878. If you're looking for an auto quote, by the way, I just got my little statement in the mail on the two vehicles that we have insurance on. My rates went down.
Nice.
How about that? Even in Joe Biden's inflationary world, I got a bargain. Thank you to Bob Watson and his team. Auto Home Life, get that rate quote and surprisingly great rates at State Farm. Licensed in Missouri and Kansas, put Bob Watson and his team to work for you. I doubt Bob, I'm not going to doubt this. I know for a fact that he was never on Epstein's Island. I was never on Epstein's Island. All right. I think you're too young.
I was also not on Epstein's Island.
Okay, good. Correct. We're not on the list. Is Jimmy Kimmel on the list? That's a question. I'm not making an allegation. That is a question because Aaron Rodgers suggested that he might be. Aaron Rodgers is one of the goofiest people in sports. He was on a podcast. It's the Pat McAfee show on ESPN, and it's also a podcast. You have a clip of him suggesting this?
Yep.
Right. All right, here. Go.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Bring it up. Bring it up, Foxy or somebody back
there. Seats on it.
Bring up Super Bowl 58.
You'll see it.
The emblem. Put it on the screen. And then bring up 57 and 56.
Does that have something to do with the Epstein list that came out?
Feels like
feels like that's supposed to be coming out soon. That's supposed to be coming out soon.
Look, this guy's been waiting in his wine cellar. Yeah. I've been waiting in my wine cellar for this thing.
A lot of people, including Jimmy Kimmel, are really hoping that doesn't
What? I mean, where does that even come from? Right? Where does that even come from?
Well,
he just random?
He and Jimmy Kimmel have a longstanding beef that's been going on for a while.
Well, so I did not know that.
I'll expand on that a little bit. So here was Jimmy Kimmel's response to that video. He says, "Dear asshole, for the record, I've not met, flown with, visited, or had any contact whatsoever with Epstein, nor will you find my name on any, quote, list other than the clearly phony nonsense that soft brain wackos like yourself can't seem to distinguish from reality. Your reckless words put my family in danger. Keep it up and we'll debate the facts further in court."
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
He misspelled asshole.
Well, it's a Aaron.
Like Aaron?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but the thing, like I said, they've been having a beef for a while now, and it's gone back to the whole COVID thing, because Aaron Rodgers, you know, didn't get vaccinated. He was asked about it and interviewed about it several times. This was when all the late night people, including Jimmy Kimmel, were like dressing up as needles and like dancing around, "Get the vaccine, get the vaccine, get the vaccine." So this is a clip from a while ago. It's probably a year or two old at this point, of Jimmy Kimmel talking about Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers, you know, in my opinion, is sort of, you know, retaliating and just kind of poking fun at Jimmy Kimmel because Jimmy Kimmel started it. Here's that clip.
"Needless to say, all this UFO talk has the tinfoil hatters going wild, including Green Bay whack packer Aaron Rodgers, who offered this hot take on the Pat McAfee show.
I
I believe that this has been going on for a long time. Interesting timing on everything. There's a lot of other things going on in the world. Did you hear about the Epstein client list about to be released too?
What's that? What are you talking about?
There's some files that have some names on it that might be getting released pretty soon.
Oh.
Might be time to revisit that concussion protocol, Aaron.
He's not even funny. You know, and we talked, Dave Kias, when he was guest hosting on the podcast, we talked about how late night comedy is just not funny anymore. And he's one of the worst. He's a left wing hack, and all he wants to talk about is politics. It's not funny. Carson made it funny. Letterman made it funny.
Yeah, and it's all political, man. It's just like he, you know, here's him, you know, talking about the vaccine. He was the one that brought his baby on.
Right.
I think it was like, it was either for the vaccine or after like some kind of shooting or something like that. And he was crying on the show, like with his baby. It's just
very officials went public with their thoughts on UFOs or UAPs, as they now call them. Ever since that big 60 Minutes story a week or two back, many people, including members of Congress, have been taking this very seriously, more so than ever before. But the QAnon crowd, of all people, is not like, buying it. The QAnons have a theory,
vaccine,
which is that
talk
of UFOs is skeptical.
It's just not funny.
They're convinced people hedge a little. You don't do that. All these conspiracies.
Yeah.
It's just not funny.
And so, he's just totally in for the establishment. Right. You know, he's just repeating every single talking point. And that's not comedy. Comedy is not repeating what the establishment wants you to think. It's not repeating, you know, the talking points of the executives, you know, for Disney, ABC, or whatever. You know, it's having an original freaking thought and making a joke. It's just so weak.
Go back and watch old clips of Johnny Carson where he would make fun of both sides, and it was really funny. And then when it wasn't funny, he'd make that funny. Yeah. So, and they're just not funny, in my opinion. Bill Clinton is somebody who I've always found to be funny. And, you know, I said in the 2020 election, the 16 election, that if Hillary won or Donald Trump won, I was going to be set as a morning show for the next 4 years, because both of them were going to give me scads of comedy. I mean, think about it. It was either Donald Trump, which it was, and there was a lot of funny stuff that happened there, or it was going to be the Clintons moving back into the White House. I mean, that the jokes just kind of wrote themselves. And Bill Clinton and Donald Trump are two of the names who are on the Epstein list. Prince Andrew of the royal family on that list as well. And one of the lines that came out of this was Bill Clinton allegedly likes him young.
Yeah, I'll read. This is just an excerpt. So, you know, it doesn't look good, but, you know, it's kind of the context is missing. But it says, question, let me back up. Do you know if Bill Clinton was a friend of Jeffrey Epstein? Answer, I knew he had dealings with Bill Clinton. I did not know they were friends until I read the Vanity Fair article about them going to Africa together. Question, did Jeffrey ever talk to you about Bill Clinton? Answer, he said one time that Clinton likes them young, referring to girls.
Okay, so we're going to play a clip for you on the way out here.
Can I say one more thing about that too? Yeah. Because you mentioned that Trump is also in the documents, and this is, I'm not saying that you're doing this because I'm just assuming you haven't seen it, but you know, it's a thing that the media is doing where they're like, oh, Trump's on there. Trump's on the documents. They're trying to insinuate that somehow Trump is, you know, in doing bad things. You know, he went to Epstein Island and banged some kids or something like that. But I'm trying to find the actual document here. And of course, I can't in real time, but I'll post it on the Facebook page and you can go check it out. But at least one of the references to Trump in the documents was actually basically exonerating him. It was somebody asking, you know, has he been to the island? Has he, you know, done this? And they said, no, he hasn't. So that looks good for him. But of course the media is like, well, Trump's on the documents. He's on the documents,
you know,
trying to insinuate that
equivalency, which is what we're not doing here.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of names on that list, and Donald Trump knew a lot of famous people, knows a lot of famous people, Democrats, Republicans, and perverts. It does not make him one. And no lines have come out like he likes them young, like Bill Clinton.
Sorry, can I play one more thing? This is from last night. That's why I wanted to play it. This is from the Golden Globe Awards, and Jim Gaffigan was hosting.
I love him.
Have you seen this
funny clip? Guy, I've not seen it.
Okay.
The Golden Globes. I mean, I can't even believe I'm in the entertainment industry. I can't. You know, it's so unlikely. I'm from a small town in Indiana. I'm not a pedophile.
You know? Nervous laughter there.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Nervous laughter.
That was pretty good.
Well, I can say that too. I'm from a small town in Indiana, and I'm not a pedophile.
There you go.
I want to thank super listener Lisa Schifferdecker. She's the one I met on a plane going down to Nashville, and you know, we got to talking, and she figured out who I was, and it wasn't about the radio show. It was about the podcast, and she pulled out her phone and showed me all the episodes that she had listened to at that point, and now we got her into the video world as well. She sent me this video. Now, I want to be clear. This is not Bill Clinton, and this might tell you where AI is going, because this is AI, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is AI. This is not Bill Clinton. Roll the video.
My fellow Americans, today you may be waiting for the highly anticipated Epstein client list to be released. So while I know you may see what appears to be my name on the list, I'd like to argue that I did not have sexual relations with those children on that island. Would it even count, though? It wasn't in the United States. Also, if you add up their ages, I'm sure it was above 18. Jeff told me since it was outside of the jurisdiction.
Bill, what the hell are you doing?
No, Hillary, I'm not confessing.
You idiot. Do I always have to clean up your mess?
What are you doing? What? No, wait. Please don't hurt the cameraman. He had nothing to do with this. No, Hillary, that was my friend. He wasn't a witness.
That's just a funny clip. Thank you, Lisa, for sharing that with us. And again, remember, that was not Bill Clinton. That was AI, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But we are not pedophiles on this podcast, and I doubt any of the listeners are. So until next week, when we go down this road again toward the 2024 election, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.